The show starts in 3, 2, 1.
There goes that man's jock strap. Oh my God, did you see that?
America's team? Yeah, right.
Oh baby, it's a big day in sports.
There's nothing like battling it out with your teammates all season long to go win a championship.
Green Bay's got it this year. Huge move for him. I think it's going to be a game changer.
We have a lot to talk about this busy week in the sports world. Welcome to the In a League of Their Own podcast.
The In a League of Their Own podcast is brought to you by Golf Kicks. Screw your shoes. Buy Cannadips. Rep Sports. Buy Smooth My Balls. And buy Streamer Loot. Check out the In a League of Their Own merch line today. Welcome to the show. Let's see what Austin and Colin are diving into today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 76 of In a League of Their Own podcast. Today's interesting sport fact is more about a person. This is about the best person who I think has worn the number 76, and that would be Orlando Pace. He played 169 games in the NFL from 1997 to 2009. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is also a Super Bowl champion, 7-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team All-Pro, and 1-team second team All-Pro. So shout out to Orlando Pace on a great career.
Who do you play for again?
He played for the Chicago Bears.
Oh yeah,
for a long time, and then I don't remember who he won the Super Bowl with, but he was on the Bears for like the longest time.
Cool. Yeah, then jumping right over into the NFL today. One thing that we kind of talked on Monday is that TJ Watt is still sitting out as he is trying to reach a contract extension with the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin, in one of his last press conferences, acknowledged the fact that they're trying to sort out that whole situation. And I mean, they still have roughly a month to figure it out, but at the same time, you don't want to let this linger on too long. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's also back in the building. He's will not play in the first preseason game, but looks like they're going to have him back taking snaps either game two or game three of the preseason. So looks like that whole situation is kind of turning out kind of like how the Rodgers situation was. Maybe they've made enough amends and fixed enough things to maybe keep him around and keep him in the building down there.
Yeah, and I mean, as surprising as it is, I know that the Texans got some guys during free agency this offseason, one being Mark Ingram. He came over from Baltimore, and that's obviously a big-name guy to have on your offense. So I don't know what their defense kind of looks like now with Watt gone, who's kind of the quarterback of that offense, who's running the show now, but – I mean, the Texans, they were a playoff team 2 or 3 years back. So, I mean, they've kind of cleaned house since then in the higher ups with coaching and some executives and stuff. And obviously D-Hop and JJ Watt have left at this point, but I mean, you still have Deshaun Watson. You still have a decent amount of players on that team who are still a part of that playoff, run. So, I mean, it's hard when your QB1 wants out of the building and that won't commit 100% to your team. And to expect all 52 other guys on your roster to follow suit is going to be tough. So, hopefully they figure things out. And like you said, hopefully it was similar to the Rodgers situation where they made amends and at least keep him for one more year and then let him walk after this season.
Yeah. And then another team kind of that needs to do some figuring out of what they're going to do. The New Orleans Saints, Patrick Robinson just retired, adding to their cornerback woes right now. Also, there has been reports that Michael Thomas is looking to get out potentially. I know a handful of landing spots. Green Bay was one. Kansas City was another. Dallas was another. Buffalo. I didn't see Tampa's name on there. The Rams, there was like six or seven really good teams that all their names were in the bucket, speculating that where he potentially is going to end up and wants to go. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I know if he ends up leaving, my MVP pick, Jameis Winston, that's probably out the window. So, yeah, but that team, it seems like ever since Drew Brees left, it kind of they all played through injuries and everything last year to try to get through it for Drew one more time, and it ended up taking a toll on him. You know, you got Will Lutz out and Michael Thomas, who also Michael Thomas was refusing to answer phone calls for 3 months from anybody from the building. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen here going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Michael Thomas is having a set in now too, that since Brees is gone, obviously he's dealt with injury the past couple of years. He's not getting any younger. So he realizes
he's in the last couple of years of his prime.
Yeah. So he realizes he has to go to a different team like Kansas City, like Green Bay, like LA, to where if he still wants to chase a ring, it's not going to happen in New Orleans. They probably have 3 to 5 years before they're going to get back on that track to be a Super Bowl contender again. Whether it takes that long for Winston to develop or rebuild that secondary or find a replacement for Michael Thomas. I mean, Alvin Kamara is kind of the quarterback of that offense right now. He's probably he has the most leadership right now. Obviously, Winston has his time from down in Tampa, but Kamara's been on the team the longest aside from Thomas on that offense right now. So along with Taysom Hill, I guess, as well. So you have a couple guys to kind of lead that team, but yeah, they're not going to be the same for at least a couple more years.
Yeah, then a big loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is out 4 weeks with a broken hand. He was the man who opted out, was one of the first to opt out last year for COVID as he helped up in a hospital up in Canada. Now he came back, wanted to make an impact on the team, and now he's out 4 weeks with a broken hand. So a lot of injuries, it seems like, happening around the league. You had him go down. Hunter Henry's now expected to miss a handful of weeks. The Eagles, but they're one of their best offensive tackles is week to week with the knee sprain. It's just injuries are, we've talked about it before, could be the reason we see a quarterback carousel this year or any carousel in any position due to people staying healthy. And I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a very weird year again.
Yeah, and then kind of going off the injuries again, one of the big ones that's happened over the past couple of weeks is the Colts losing Carson Wentz for, again, that 5 to 12 week timetable, along with starting guard Quentin Nelson. The Colts are having QB Sam Ehlinger and Jacob Eason now split QB1 reps in practice, and going forward in preseason games, they're going to be splitting QB1 reps. But some news that came out today is that the team is very optimistic that Wentz and Nelson will be able to start week one. They both had their surgeries last week and they've had their rehab this week. And they said by the end of next week, kind of that 2 weeks post-surgery, they'll have a good idea of how of when they can get back at the earliest. And like I said, they seem optimistic that both will be back week one. I hope they don't push it. If it's like, all right, week one, like that Friday or Saturday before that game, it's like that's their earliest window, push it back 1 or 2 weeks. I mean, the other end of it was 12 weeks, which would have been almost half the season if they would have been closer to that timetable. So if they're smart, they don't push it. Let them miss week one, maybe week two. That's not the end of the world. But if you push them back, if you push them to come back too early, they could re-aggravate something, make it worse, and boom, they're both out for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see that they're kind of doing the dual threat with Ehlinger and Eason to kind of see, I guess, who's a fit rather than going with one guy and like, all right, you're a guy no matter what happens. So, and Ehlinger just coming out of the draft, obviously good to, for him to see QB1 reps and kind of see how that's going to work out for him.
Yeah, it's always nice to see younger guys take the reins and kind of see, especially for teams in the preseason, you know, to get each one of their guys a good amount of reps to see if they made a right decision on one of them or not. And circling back to kind of the injuries, Rashad Bateman is going to be out a handful of weeks with a soft tissue injury in his leg. One of the top linebackers for the New England Patriots, Raekwon McMillan, has been placed on the injury reserve with a torn ACL. Some teams are going to have some gaps to fill. Unlike, you know, kind of like the Packers situation right now, it seems like for one time we don't have any huge lingering injuries right now. Rodgers is back in the building. Everybody's, you know, all happy and everything. He's not going to be playing in the preseason. Kind of seems like, I don't know, it seems like Green Bay's in a great spot, unlike Seattle, who is still trying to work out a contract with Jamal Adams, still haven't, you know, moved talks any further with Dwayne Brown. And then now today they just release Aldon Smith. So seems like everything's falling apart out in Seattle.
Yeah, and it's nice to see this offseason that there aren't really any injuries that have come up. The only lingering injury that the Packers really still have to deal with is David Bakhtiari, as he tore his ACL like three quarters of the way through the season last year. They lost him, so it's going to be about that time frame, probably towards the middle part, three quarters of the way through the season before they expect to get him back. I mean, he's been on the practice facility. He's obviously been doing as much as he can, but I don't know what the timetable is for him to come back. Is he on the injury reserve still? I don't know what list he's technically on, but I mean, it was an ACL injury, which takes 8 months to a year to recover from. So he's still got at least a little ways to go before he's expected to be back, I think. But I'll look it up actually right now, because I guess I haven't seen what it looks like for him coming back. Yeah, it still says he's in rehab, and says, is it making any promises as to when he'll be back on the field? And that was reported a couple days ago. So yeah, he's still working through it. And again, no timetable for when he'll be back. That's really the biggest loss on that Packers team that they're going to have to kind of work through. But at the same time, they didn't really miss a beat when he went down late last season.
Again, no, because what's his name stepped up and played pretty much every single position on the line except for center.
Turner, yeah. Yeah, I think it was Turner, Billy Turner. But yeah, I mean, again, like we've talked about in the past with how 10, 20 years ago, a guard was a guard, a center was a center, a tackle was a tackle, where nowadays every guy can play every position on the line, where they just, one guy goes down, all right, you move over a spot, you move over that spot, you off the practice squad, you're in, and boom. I'm sure they have, just like they have personnel packages for like running backs, receivers, tight ends, they have all-line packages depending on who's available, who's healthy, as to what the best lineup is for them, where if one guy goes down, all right, he's down, then they got to move this guy here, and that's our best lineup based on training camp practices, chemistry between those guys. So I mean, obviously the Packers would be better with Bakhtiari, but at the same time, it's not one of those lulls that you see, oh, they're losing games, or Rodgers is getting sacked that much more without him. So not too worried about it, but yeah, definitely looking forward to him getting back whenever that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question mark when you have one of your more important people not really having a timetable for coming back. So, but at that point also, I feel like not doing that also motivates some of the people who are trying to get a job. So it's not like, okay, I'm just going to bust my ass for 4 weeks and he's coming back and then going to take it, where you don't know how long you're going to be able in that spot. So you kind of have a better mentality and are able to mentally get prepared for it, I feel like, easier, knowing that you could be doing this for, you know, forever. There's no really set date that it's like, okay, well, our guy's back, so take a seat.
Yeah. Well, especially because, again, with how important this year is for all these players, either being on the last year of the contract or signing one-year deals or one-year extensions with the cap going up again next year. This is an opportunity for, again, some of those guys that wouldn't see the field unless a big star like Bakhtiari goes down, to where obviously you'd like to see the Packers keep all these guys, but at the same time, they have a blowout year like Billy Turner. I think after this year, he'll be eligible for his rookie extension. So you'd hope the Packers would keep him just with how versatile he's been. Like you said, the only position he hasn't played is center, but I'm pretty sure he's played both guards and both tackle positions at some point. So he's obviously a guy you hope they keep. But again, if these guys have a ball out and have a good year, it's hard to keep. It's easy to keep one star receiver. It's hard to keep four star linemen all together. Well, technically five with your center, but it's gonna be really fun and probably stressful for a lot of these teams come next offseason to figure out who they're gonna keep and who they gotta let walk to try to get their big contract.
Yeah, money makes things difficult sometimes.
Yeah. And then sticking with the Packers, another quick point here is that Packers quarterback Jordan Love will have an opportunity to silence the naysayers, as Rodgers will sit out the entire preseason, giving Love all QB1 reps for all four preseason games. So last year, did they not have a preseason last year, correct? They just went straight into week one?
No, they did. They did. They had four games. No fans.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't remember like Jordan Love in the preseason at all last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played quite a bit. So did who'd we end up getting rid of? That's on the
Tim Boyle. Colts.
He did really well, and then guy that we lost to the Colts.
A quarterback?
Hundley.
Oh, yeah, Brett Hundley, he was in Seattle, and then he was in Arizona, and now he's in Indy. So he's been on three teams since the Packers, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, just double-check, look really quick, just to make sure that there was a preseason last year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 90% sure that there was.
Well, I'll just pull up 2020. Packers schedule, because then it'll show if there's that's showing 2 years ago for some reason. Why is it showing me? Because it's showing divisional round Seahawks, conference championship 49ers. So that was 2 years ago. But I have 2021 Packers schedule. It'd
be 2019, 2020.
Well, it'd be 2020, 21.
This season is 2020, 2021. Or no, this
year's season 21, is 21, 22. Yeah, and it's showing. I don't know. It literally is only showing me 2019 schedule and this year's schedule. It won't. That's so weird. 2020 Packers schedule. Yeah, and it goes all the way back to freaking 2019. It's showing.
Okay, so this is what happened.
Now it pulled up because it's showing Vikings that's how they started last year, but it's not showing a preseason.
So they played 2 weeks. 2 weeks of the preseason was played, then the rest was canceled. Weeks three from August 20. Oh, just kidding. So no, I'm just pulling it up. all, I just pulled up the official schedule. Every single preseason game was canceled last year due to COVID.
Okay.
They all say canceled next to them. Every single one.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, for some reason, I thought I remember them trying like a week or two, like you said, and then they canceled the rest, but yeah.
No, looks like they just canceled it all.
Yeah, so that would make sense then, because I was like, I don't remember seeing Jordan Love have any play time whatsoever since he's been drafted. And that'd be true, because they didn't have a preseason last year. So yeah, this is going to be the first time, I guess, that we'll see Jordan Love with live reps. Obviously, you hear about all the terribly missed throws and bad reads from practices and training camp and all that, but I guess we'll see how that moves over to the field as they have their first preseason game here on Saturday against the Texans. And then last point I have for today then for the NFL is that Tom Brady is releasing his first set of NFTs today. He joins a list of legendary athletes like Wayne Gretzky, Tony Hawk, Naomi Osaka, Derek Jeter, and Tiger Woods. So, I mean, as the sports memorabilia world gets bigger and bigger, NFTs are going to start to become more of a thing. It's just essentially it's like digital, because it's non-fungible tokens, right? Is the technical name of NFT?
I believe so. But yeah, it's just a digital sports card, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of having like your physical card, it's just going to be electronic. So like, it's like, oh, you want to see like my signatures I have? Boom. You're going to pull up a document. It's basically going to have a list of athlete signatures, which is kind of, it's kind of weird that how, like, you'd think that a physical copy would have more value than a digital copy, especially because it's going to be 10 times easier I pull up a signature of Aaron Rodgers on my screen. I screenshot it, send it to you. Guess what? We both have Aaron Rodgers' signature. That lessens his value. You screenshot it. You send it to 10 of your friends.
You don't have the certificate of authentication. That's what. What makes or breaks.
So I screenshot that and send that to you, and you send that to your 10 friends.
You ain't gonna find one of those that are real.
Well, if it's digital, you have to have a digital certificate of authenticity to go along with that signature.
I don't know how it works with NFTs. I'm just talking about like in real life, like physical copies. For anything to actually hold any tremendous amount of value, you need the certificate of authentication with it. So yeah, that you can see it's like one of 50 or one of one or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Maybe it comes with the NFT that you purchase. Because the NFT, it can't have any of the team's logos, can't have the sports logo, can't have any of the stats or anything put on it. It's basically just a picture of them, their number, and whatever their like little trademark is in an autograph. So it's not like anything like super crazy.
So for Brady, you're not going to see like Buck stuff. It's going to be like TB12 stuff because that's his brand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless the NFL and them make a deal on it where they could put like the team logo on it. But then as an athlete, you're losing so much money.
Yeah, because you got to kick some of that to the NFL.
Because I know like Connor McDavid, he was like one of the first ones to do it. And he just put, it just says 99 CMD on it and the signature on it. It's got nothing else. I don't know. They look pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's another way for these athletes to make money, but it's like I said, it just makes you think that because stuff digitally can get copied so easily that I feel like, I mean, if anything, it's going to make the physical tangible stuff that much more valuable because of how, like I said, how easily an online document can get copied and pasted and sent to, like I said, if you have if I have a signature of somebody on my screen, I could screenshot it, send it to you. Now you have it. Again, you don't have the certificate of authenticity, but you still have it. Much more different than a card. I can't duplicate that card and send it to you.
So yeah, you could 3D print it. You could remake one.
Yeah, but not with the paper that they use, because isn't it like, it's like money. You can't duplicate a card, or you can't duplicate money. You can't like take, you can't buy the same paper that they make the US dollar with. Same thing with like these card companies. They use a certain type of paper and laminate and press on them. Like, I feel like you wouldn't be able to duplicate a stamp on them.
I don't know, but we're in the day and age where you can almost do anything. You can find anything and everything. So I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you probably could find one.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Alf, you had any other NFL points to throw out there?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Sounds good then. Since it is Wednesday, let's jump on into our Wisconsin Wednesday. What you got going on in the state of Wisconsin?
So I have a pretty cool story. The state of Wisconsin has an award for high school athletes. It's called the Pat Richter Award for the most outstanding three-sport athlete in the state. However, this kid did not just play three sports. He dominated four sports in high school. His name is Austin Dahlke. He went to Edgar High School. 6'1". He was a linebacker, running back, wing guard in basketball, infielder, sprinter. He helped the team to performances in state, basically, for every single sport that he played for. Just reading some of his stats here. So for football, he was first team All-State at linebacker. He was second team All-State as a running back. He led the state in sacks with 13. He led the state in tackles for loss with 26. He helped their high school team go 9-0 running the ball. He had 797 yards, 14 touchdowns, while catching 11 passes for 206 yards. For basketball, he helped the team to a 23-3 record and a spot at the state tournament. Doesn't say how they ended up doing, so I'm guessing that they lost at the state finals. In baseball, he earned unanimous first team All-State as a sophomore, and then he got it again second team as a senior. Wildcats won the league title, advanced sectionals. He hit a .456, 24 RBIs, and 15 stolen bases. And then in track and field, he was a member of their school record teams. In the 4x1, 4x2, he earned 5 medals at state track and field. Second in the 4x4, first in the 4x1 and 4x400, second in the 200-meter dash, and fifth in the long jump. So this kid just dominates every sport that he's, you know, competed in, and he's got a 3.3 GPA, so that was pretty impressive on that side. And then just going to mention the name of the women, the girl who won that award is Katie Hildebrandt, won it for the women's. So, yeah, 6'2", and she won that out of McFarland, so.
Cool, cool. McFarland, that's by Madison. Isn't it?
Correct. Yep, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
She almost averaged a double-double in basketball in high school.
It's impressive.
Oh, shit. And in soccer, she was the goalie. Led them to an undefeated season in the state championship. She's 6'2", so big, big girl. But, yeah, definitely – obviously, hell of an athlete. Being a goalie in soccer, that's going to be very tough because then that's so big and the ball's so small and the curve and stuff that they can put on it. So mm-hmm. You got to be a pretty good athlete if you want to do pretty good at that.
Yeah, for sure. I know I would never want to, I mean, whether for hockey or soccer, just having that pressure that it's like a game can literally the game goes as you go. If you don't let a single puck or ball past you, your team's going to win probably.
Unless
your offense sucks too. But yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. What did you have?
Yeah, so a handful of things here, actually. Bucks 2020 draft pick Jordan Nwora dropped a game-high 30 points in their summer league debut over the Clippers earlier this week in an 81-78 victory. He did play 30 games for the Bucks last year, so the league isn't anything new to him, but it's great to see him making an impact in the summer league. ESPN released its top 25 college football preseason ranking list, and the Badgers currently sit at number 16. What do you think of this spot for them? Is that a good spot for them, or
yeah, after the shitty year that we had last year?
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that they're not lower.
I was just about to say that. I'm surprised we're not even the 25th, maybe even outside the top 25. We had some bad losses last year.
Yeah, because they went 4-3 last year, given they did have issues with COVID, with Grant Hurts going down.
Or did we win the first two and then we lost three in a row? I know we started undefeated because we played so many. We played two like great games.
They played, and then they played one,
and then everybody got COVID, and then we lost like the rest in a row.
Yeah, I think they started 2-0 because their first game was against Illinois when Graham Mertz was like 29-30. He set a Badgers record. Then they missed their next two games because of COVID cancellations. And then I think that they beat Michigan. And then, yeah, that's when they fell apart. But they did end up making it to a bowl game. And then
– that ain't nothing, though, when you had half the teams not even playing last year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what it came down to, was a bunch of teams either opted out of their bowl game or COVID forced them to miss. And then you had teams like I can't remember who it was, if it was Navy or Air Force or Army. One of those teams was like 6-0 or 7-0 and didn't get a bowl game. So it just, I don't know. Last year was such a weird year for college football. But yeah, 16 I think is a good spot for them. I think they've been in like the top 10.
What about Alabama, you think, with the number one runaway vote?
I mean, that's to be expected. They didn't do
that good that last year, though.
Well, they won a national championship, so you're going to put that.
I know, but like,
just like the Bucks,
dominant as...
just like the Bucks, you're going to be the number one team coming out of the gate because they're the defending Super Bowl champions. It's just kind of a rite of passage that you get that spot, that number one spot.
I think the Chiefs had the best odds, actually.
Well, best odds, but I'm saying like power rankings, like for rankings for teams, the Bucks are still number one. Yeah, it's Bucks, Chiefs. The Packers are like fifth or sixth right now. They were outside the top 10 when Rodgers was still in question, but I want to say even I think the Ravens might be ahead of the Packers, honestly. But it all depends who you look at, because ESPN has a different list. SportsCenter has a different list. Ian Rappaport has a different list. And Adam Schefter, like, they all have their own list. So I guess it depends who you look at. But
yeah, a couple of them, it's got us third or it's us fourth. Bucks, Chiefs, then either us or the Browns.
All right.
But that doesn't make sense for the Browns to be there for power rankings.
All depends on, like I said, it's anybody can put together that list that has a name, you know what I mean? And they could say whatever they want.
Right, because it's like in the NBA, the power rankings, the Bucks aren't going to be number one.
No. Yeah, I mean, as soon as the NBA finals ended, it's like, all right, two early predictions for next year's NBA finals. The Bucks are like fourth coming out of the
game. And then that's like Tampa winning the cup. They're not the favorites. It's back to Colorado again.
Yeah. Yeah. Continuing the Wisconsin news here. The WIAA football season appears that it will stay the same for at least one more season, as the WIAA committee voted not to support the realignment of conferences for the 2021 season. So as we talked about a couple weeks back, how they're looking to shift around some conferences based on.
They did for basketball, for men's and women's.
Yeah, this is for football specifically. How they move some teams from D1 to D2, D2 to D1, and just kind of shuffle around what division schools are in. And then the next step after that was to realign the conferences based on how the divisions got mixed around. But they apparently couldn't come to an agreement for this season, and it looks like they'll reconvene April 16th of next year to decide then for the 2022 season what they're going to do. Which that's for 11-man football. There's 8-man football, and there's a 7-on-7 like league as well. So they have
what?
Yeah, there's like 7-on-7 flag football. It's like it's not like an organized full sport. It's like a club sport right now that some schools have. But I don't even know if it's like WIAA like
sanctioned
or certified. I just know when I was reading on it, it says in the new league, just because there's a lot of teams or a lot of schools that are trying to get away from the contact sports of even like younger kids, like how Pee Wee football is apparently not going to exist in the near future. It's just going to be flag football until either junior high or high school.
Where? In Wisconsin?
Across the country, they're trying to do that.
Huh.
I mean, even look at like the NFL, like
AJ, because AJ Hawk talks about him and his kids. They're putting on the pads and they're 8. They have their first padded game this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you teach them how to do it correctly,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. It's when you don't do it correctly, that's when you get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for any age, though.
Yeah, it does.
But, yeah, I know that there's – I mean, even for, like, the NFL – I can't remember, because, like, Drew Brees, his kids do football, but it's a flag football league. Like, that's – the NFL is trying to have an influence where they're trying to have, like, across the country, they're going to basically have a flag football league for kids to do instead of contact football.
So then what's going to happen to all the linemen? Are you going to be none? NFL's going to be 7-on-7?
Yeah, get skinnier. go be a tight end. I don't know. But, I mean, even, like, so, yeah, because, like...
You can't remove contact from football. It's just football.
No, I mean, at a young age, I could see why, just because it could be dangerous to where if one kid is locked in understanding the game of football and another kid's just out there because their parents made them and they...
Oh, yeah, I fucking hurt a handful of kids.
That don't know what's going on. That's where the injuries happen.
That's on the parents, though. That's not on the kid.
Rather than in, like, high school or college or NFL, one guy's going 100%, the other guy's going 99%, somebody gets hurt. When the kids are that small, you have a kid going 100% and the other kid's going 20% because they have no idea what's going on. So,
and that's on the parent.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, it's nice to have, like, I think there should still be contact sports. Like, have an option. Like, if your kid wants to go do flag football instead, cool, go do that, but don't completely eliminate it.
Yeah. That'd be some shit.
Yeah.
Tonight, hockey tried going through the same thing. They tried eliminating contact earlier and, like, pushed it, I think. Because when I played, you could hit people when you were, like, 13 years old, 14 years old. You could full-on just fucking crush people. Now, I think it's not until you're a freshman in high school. So that's 3 years delayed that you are of... Okay, then you take the next step to go play at the next level and you're playing against some kid who's been doing it his whole life in Canada, just fucking killing kids, and you get hurt. Like, how we're softening up all these sports, it's pretty nuts. And I feel like the injuries are going up because of this. Like, we're adding too many rules, pity padding, so many things, and it's just like, what, the UFC? Pretty soon they're going to use fucking huge balloon gloves and not be able to hurt each other, you know? Yeah. Like, it's nonsense. These contact sports, they're violent, and that's why people like to play them, and that's why people love to watch them. It's like gladiator type shit, and people love to see that. People will pay umpteen millions of dollars to see that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just can't. I guess I'm hoping they don't cross the line with making it too soft is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, because then especially once you get, you make that jump from high school to college, you're going to have a flux of injuries to where that all those rules that you had to abide by in high school out the window in college, to where guys who were learning to play soft and not have as much contact, boom, you go into college or take that jump from college to the NFL. I mean, even you see so many rookies like Rashad Bateman or other rookies that come into the league that get hurt right away because it's a jump for to go from college to professional sports. Yeah, you're just going to see a lot more and more injuries the more that they keep going down the list and trying to soften these sports. Again, I'm for alternatives. Like, if you want to enjoy the sport with less contact, give those kids other options. But to completely take out what's already in place, that just, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Yeah, and then wrapping up our Wisconsin talk here, over in the Northwoods League, the playoffs are just days away as the first round kicks off this Sunday. As it currently stands, the Kokomo Jackrabbits would play the Traverse City Pit Spitters in the Great Lakes East. In the West, the Wisconsin Woodchucks overtake the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders for the number one spot. So those two teams would represent the West. And over in the Great Plains East, the Waterloo Bucks would play the Duluth Huskies, who they currently hold a 13.5 game lead over in the West. And then the St. Cloud Rocks, who hold a league best 48-18 record, would play the Mankato Moondogs. So pretty much all the teams I mentioned have it locked up. I think that one or two of the divisions, there's four more games to play. Basically, the number two team would have to lose all their games, and the number three team would have to win all their games to have a chance. So basically, I think after tonight and tomorrow's games are over, these top teams will be finalized.
The Woodchucks.
Woodchucks. Yeah, that's all I got for Wisconsin Wednesday. Moving over then to the NBA. What's the latest over there?
So, latest thing in the NBA last night, number two draft pick Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets, top number one pick Cade Cunningham and the Pistons in the NBA Summer League Showdown. That game was pretty cool to watch, getting to see both those guys do what they do. You know, that's where they were drafted that high. That was just cool to see that. Russell Westbrook speaking out how it still hasn't felt real yet and still not real until he laces him up for game one of the season and kind of gets out there on the court as he's grown, you know, hometown kid growing up, being a fan of the Lakers, now actually being able to play for him. I feel like that's every, you know, every kid's dream is to play for your favorite team growing up. So that's awesome to see Russell Westbrook get an opportunity to do that. And then one thing that I have a question for you, Dennis Schroeder turns down a 4-year, I think it was 84 million dollar contract to stay with the Clippers. He now goes to the Boston Celtics for a 1-year, $5.9 million deal. What do you think was the main factor in this, or why did he do it?
Yeah, so it's actually the Lakers, not the Clippers, that he was on.
Lakers, excuse me.
But yeah, supposedly the Lakers offer him this $84 million contract. He countered with $100 million. The Lakers said no. And then that happened two nights ago. And then literally either that night or early that next morning, the Celtics reached out with their $5.9 million offer. And rather than trying to renegotiate again with the Lakers, he just took the $5.9 million contract. After kind of looking into the story, that's essentially what happened is it was counter offer. And then before Schroeder even allowed the Lakers to say, okay, we'll give you $90 million. Like, you know what I mean? Like they could have offered him more. He just went with the Celtics. So whether, I don't know, whether something happened between that negotiation meeting, that hard feelings happened so that he wasn't going to get a counter offer. Who knows? Cause I don't know how you go from a four year, $84 million extension with a now ready to win championship team to the Celtics, who are barely make the playoffs right now. So, but at the same time, we were talking about this last night, with the Lakers going on and getting Westbrook, Schroeder probably accepted the fact that he'd be coming off the bench, not getting a lot of play time. He already got his ring with the Lakers 2 years ago. He's been in the league for a long time. He's made his millions. Now he wants to go to the Celtics and try to build his name with a low team to try to rise him up from the ashes. Maybe, I don't know. That could be one scenario, or he's just has a bad agent that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. That could be another thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird scenario to see a guy go from a championship team for a lot of money to a barely playoff team for a fraction of the money. You just don't see that. So I guess we'll see maybe as the week goes on, more comes out about what happened exactly. But yeah, it's definitely a head scratcher.
Yeah. And then Luka Doncic makes history with his massive NBA rookie extension. Shout out to Luka. I mean, dude's been unbelievable. Him and Trae Young both getting kind of the same deal. 5 year, $207 million supermax rookie extension, last year player option. I feel like, I don't know, the NBA continues to make more and more money. These young stars are going to continue to get more and more bigger deals, you know, bigger supermax contracts. It's kind of like the NFL and all these other salary cap sports, but it seems like the NBA continues to go up overall, no matter what. Like, there's no, I don't know. It seems like the way that they treat their players with giving them contracts, you never hear any pushback on contract situations or stuff like that where you hear in the NFL all the time. Yeah, it seems like they're willing to be able to, you know, get paid kind of whatever they want to get paid. And the teams are like, okay, deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just goes really smoothly in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, plus looking at the Mavs, Mark Cuban's the owner. So they, that dude's got deep pockets, so I'm sure he had no issues dishing out $207 million to Luka. And then looking to a stat, obviously, that makes him that much more deserving of this Supermax contract is he joins a list of athletes having 25 points per game, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists per game through their first 3 seasons. He joins that list with LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and Oscar Robertson. So obviously that's good company to be in, and that just goes to show, again, why he's that much more deserving of obviously going out and getting paid.
Sounds good. I didn't have anything else for the
NBA. The Summer League and then Luka and Schroeder were the only 3 points I had as well. Again, the Summer League is going on, so there's technically games to highlight there, but it's all bench players. And first, second, third year guys. So, it's fun to see basketball back after it literally just ended like a month ago. So, but the regular season is just a couple weeks away. So looking forward to, or a couple months away. So looking forward to when that starts. So, yeah, then going on down to the MLB here then. The Brewers took a doubleheader sweep yesterday over the Cubs after Monday's rain delay, and they look to complete the full series sweep tonight. That game starts at 7 o'clock in Chicago. After being down 4-1, the Rays rally to beat the Red Sox 8-4, extending their division lead to 5 games. The Rangers rallied past the Mariners to snap their 14-game road skid.
My boy Allard got a dubski.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He started. He started.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then lastly, the Detroit Tigers had a scare in last night's game as outfielders Derek Hill and Akil Badu collided while chasing a fly ball in left center field. Hill is being examined for a ribs injury, and Badu is being evaluated for a concussion and shoulder injury. It's just one of those scary moments where that ball was hit just perfectly to where they're both conditioned to where when they see that ball in that spot, all right, I go. And that both just got set in their head to where if that ball would have been 5-10 more feet to the left or the right, it would have been kind of obvious for who's going for it. But yeah, it was just one of those one in a million chances to where that ball's in a spot and both guys are trying to make a play.
And probably they're both concentrating so hard, they probably didn't even hear the other person call, "I got it, I got it."
Yeah.
Like, you probably just went and, like, completely zoned in, didn't even hear it. It was a nasty collision.
Yeah, it was. I mean, seems like both guys are going to be fine. Obviously,
okay, hopefully.
Obviously, Badu with the concussion, looks like he might be out with the longest time, is just with concussion protocol. But, yeah, I mean, the Tigers are just having another one of those seasons where they're at the bottom of the division, and now you have two of your starting outfielders go down after a collision, a friendly collision with each other. So, yeah, sometimes that's just how sports goes, though.
Yeah, and then speaking of how sports goes in the game of baseball, Cup Snakes are finally bringing fans together. It was pretty crazy. Last month in the game, Minnesota Twins, there was one section who ended up purchasing $30,000 worth of beer. And they made a huge long Cup Snake, which they're claiming has been the best in the business. And now it seems to be like a rallying point around the MLB here. Fans all over the place are now starting to do that. So it's becoming a trend. And I feel like it's a way to keep people, you know, not fighting in the stands and coming together and being a part of a team almost. It's cool. Cool to see that. Like the Cups, the snakes that run from like all the way up top.
So mm-hmm. I remember when
that's just nuts.
The XFL was back for its 1 year before COVID. I remember one of the games they had probably the longest Cup snake I've ever seen in a game. It was literally from the top couple rows. And I think it was down to like the last maybe 10 rows. And I'm sure by the end of the game, it made it all the way to where they probably could have laid it out literally from the top seat to the bottom seat. But yeah, it's always fun to see that kind of stuff. Of literally a fan or thousands of people who don't know each other all working together for one thing. And obviously people aren't going to say no to, "Oh, drink more beer so we can make this thing longer." Okay. So yeah. That's it for the MLB then. Throw things over to you for the NHL.
Still not a lot going on. Just some re-signings, some signings. Sad news, Hall of Fame Chicago Blackhawks goalie Tony Esposito died yesterday at age 78. So condolences to family and everybody who knew him. Everything that I've ever heard about the guy, everybody says just what a great person he was and what a great goalie he was. So, yeah. Then my boys re-signed goalie Kata Hot to a 3-year, $11.9 million contract. Looks like he will be splitting time as we let Brian Elliott go. He now went down to Tampa, so he's going to be backing up arguably the best goalie in the world and has the best job. And yeah, that's kind of where the NHL sits at this point. There's still nothing really crazy going on. Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper, he's going to coach Team Canada if the NHL players are allowed to compete in Beijing. This has kind of been an interesting situation because the NHL's they have to like schedule out the season and everybody's games and stuff. And right now they're debating on whether to put have an Olympic break in there or to not and just play a regular season and not let the NHLers go. So I know the NHL players do want to go as they weren't allowed to go to the last one. So it's going to be interesting to see where the NHLPA and the executives end up on this situation. And that's all I got for the NHL. And then I just got two quick things of the NCAA. The NCAA is not punishing Baylor University after sexual assault allegations come out against the university. And Virginia Union football player Quandarius Wilburn died after collapsing in practice yesterday. There will be a NCAA investigation started with that university. So, unfortunate to see somebody, you know, die doing something that they love doing and people shouldn't be worked. Hopefully to God, it was like a medical condition or something, and it wasn't just
dehydration and skipping water breaks and stuff.
Something that could have been controlled.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have any other points to add. That's all I had for today as well. Again, we won't be having an episode on Friday. So this will probably be our last episode of the week here then. Yeah. So then thanks for everybody tuning in once again. I appreciate all the love and support that you guys have given us since the beginning. Again, just keeps going up from here. So have you guys to thank for that. Listening, watching, subscribing, sharing all the content. Be sure to drop a subscribe on this video on our channel to help us get partnered with YouTube. And also feel free to check out all of our other socials, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We're on anywhere and everywhere. Anything that happens outside the podcast, usually we're pretty good staying up to date with any news that happens on our off days. So be sure to check out our socials to stay up to date on the sports news there. And for our audio episodes, check out Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, anywhere affiliated with Anchor, you can find us to listen to our audio episodes. Yeah, we appreciate again you guys stopping in today. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
See you on Monday, everyone.